This February the 13th, we join UNESCO and thousands of stations in wishing you a beautiful World Radio Day.
Every year at this time, I talk about how much I love this idea, World Radio Day. The idea comes from an agency of the United Nations, UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Radio bears all those attributes: education, science, culture. Here in Canada and in much of the world, we are now well into the second century of radio. I feel I need to keep pointing out that Canada's first licensed radio broadcasting station came on the air in 1919, XWA in Montreal, where UNESCO has Canadian operations today. On this World Radio Day, the theme is a century of radio history, entertaining, informing, and educating. The multitude of ways I could connect specific events, radio stations, broadcasts, and personalities to those themes is overwhelming. I think I'll write this one out loud and hear where I go. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 8, Episode 5. I wish we had recordings from the very first broadcast by all of the earliest radio stations around the world. In many cases, we do not. XWA in Montreal went on the air in December 1919 and made radio history broadcasting a special event in May of 1920 before WWJ Detroit and KDKA Pittsburgh came on the air that same year. As radio spread across Canada and the U.S., Britain got the BBC in 1922, Japan got radio in 1925, and radio continued to spread, reaching most countries by the 1930s. Let's think about entertainment for a moment. Radio has given the world laughter and reflection through the situational comedy, the sitcom. Radio has given the world the half-hour drama series. In fact, many of the comedies and dramas popular on TV in North America well into the 1980s are shows that started out on the radio. Radio popularized the variety show, programs featuring live music, comedy, monologues, song and dance, putting them into homes without a music hall admission fee. Radio forced the movie industry to add sound to movies as people started to stay home to listen to radio, drama, and more. Sound could have been added to movies earlier. Let's consider this. 85 years later, we're still resisting the trope that radio caused mass panic when War of the Worlds was dramatized. The research into the reaction concludes thousands of people panicked, yet millions heard it. There was no mass panic. Everybody seems to think they know something about War of the Worlds on radio, but I rarely hear what people who tuned in late and thought it was real had tuned away from. Many tuned away from the Chase and Sanborn Hour, a variety show on NBC, when this musical number by Dorothy Moore was apparently not their cup of tea.
Look at you and look at me, just two wilted claws. We should get a cuckoo clock. Got a cigarette? Oh, honey, no. Gee, it's getting kind of cold, too, isn't it? Here we are.
The moment they tuned over to on CBS was a moment of Martian attack. Fiction, not fake news. Now, here's a moment that still stands out to me as an outstanding example of the power of radio to inform, to push the powerful to act. September 2nd, 2005. The mayor of New Orleans in Louisiana phones a radio station during the peak of the crisis that follows Hurricane Katrina. Listen, this is Mayor Ray Nagin on the phone over WWL New Orleans.
What did you say to the President of the United States, and what did he say to you?
I basically told him we had an incredible crisis here, and that his flying over in Air Force One does not do it justice. And that I have been all around this city, and I am very frustrated because we are not able to marshal resources, and we're outmanned in just about every respect.
It is widely agreed that call over the radio and its replay on radio and TV news changed the course of the U.S. government's response to the disaster in New Orleans. Radio continues to inform listeners, maybe better where you live than where I do. Radio in Canada, and especially in Toronto, has really declined in the last 20 years. Somebody will argue with that, but I'll be up front. I started doing news on the radio in the 1970s. The quality here has really gone downhill. Editing audio from the company's TV news from last night and passing it off as news on the radio the next day is an appalling, sloppy, self-defeating anti-radio practice. But it happens on what was once a great news station here. And yet, in history, radio went to extreme lengths to cover and bring us the news, much to the chagrin of the newspapers. Newspapers were only too eager to accuse radio over a lack of critical thinking or media literacy by listeners when War of the Worlds hit. 1938 is the time of live radio reporting on the growing crisis in Europe, radio beating the papers to the news and attracting more advertising dollars. And it's just a year after this lesson in radio news.
The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It's bursting into flames. Get it started. It's rising terrible. Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks between that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world.
Oh, we learned from that. Radio reporters must not lose their composure and must not speculate. Of course, most of the passengers aboard the Hindenburg that day in 1937 survived. Radio continues to educate us, too. If you'd like a fulsome research history into the struggle for educational and public radio in the United States, I highly recommend a new book, Shadow of the New Deal, The Victory of Public Broadcasting by Josh Shepard, is a carefully researched and well-told story. I had the pleasure of meeting Shepard here in Toronto last year to talk about his work with the Radio Preservation Task Force, an initiative of the U.S. Library of Congress. By contrast, having lost the support of Canadian broadcasters, the Canadian Communications Foundation was winding down, and I was looking for inspiration. Radio still gives us opportunities to learn. I think of programs such as Ideas from CBC Radio in Canada and its annual Massey Lectures, or the Carnegie Lectures on NPR in the U.S. How about the advocacy and education we get from public service campaigns or fundraising drives on radio for local hospitals or local causes and social needs? I learned from shows with panels of experts, interviews, call-in shows, specialty shows on gardening and home maintenance. No, there is not a day goes by that I don't benefit from radio, that I am not entertained, informed, or educated. In that spirit, I wish you a beautiful World Radio Day. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.